Yeah. You know, when we think of the word vidui normally means to admit that we did something wrong. You read through the text of the vidui maaser, it says, I gave everything I was supposed to give. I gave everything I was supposed to give. I did everything that I was supposed to do. I didn't eat. If I'm one of the people who's able to eat, say Maaser Sheni or something like that. So I didn't eat it in a time when I wasn't supposed to. I did everything I was supposed to do. And it's funny, we call it Vidui Maaser. It's called Vidui Maaser. So one of the things that we say in the Vidui Maaser, if Amarta lifnei Hashem Elokecha, you're supposed to say to Hashem, Ba'arti HaKodesh Min Abayis. I didn't forget to do anything. I took all of the maaser that I was supposed to take and I brought it out of my house and I gave it to the Levi and to the Almana and to, I gave it to anyone who I was supposed to give. Anyone I was supposed to give to, I gave. So it doesn't sound like much of a confession. I gave to anyone I was supposed to give. The Maharam Shik. Maharam Shik is a very special person. Moshe Shik. The Maharam Shik in his Perish Tachomish Shal Torah says that part of the reason we call it Vidui Maaser, part of the reason we call it the confession over the tithes, is that we say these words, Ba'arti HaKodesh Min Abayis. Which on the one hand, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to remove this stuff from the house and give it to whoever it's supposed to be given to. Or alternatively, if we haven't eaten it by a certain point, we have to take it out of our house. But the Maharam Shik said that part of the confession of the Arti HaKodesh Min Abayis is that before the Chet HaEgel, the Jewish people were supposed to have this Kodesh in their house. Every Bechor in the house, every firstborn in the house was supposed to be a Kohen, so to speak. And the food, which we were taking truma from, would have been eaten by the family, by the house. When we say Ba'arti HaKodesh Min Abayis, yes, we're admitting that we did something good, but one of the reasons it's called confession is because we lost out on the opportunity to have the most sacred act of eating, of interacting with the physical world around us, be part of our normal family life. Now for sure, some of us don't even know what that means. To have holy eating as part of our... We don't feel like we're missing it because we don't even know what that means. But how different our lives would be if instead of there being an enclave of unique souls who would have access to the Beis HaMikdash and would know intimately the dinim of bringing karbonos and eating karbonos, if that would just be part of our regular life, how different our life would be. So there's a few times in the ensuing psukim that talk about lishmor kol mitzvotav, to guard the mitzvos. Hashem instructs us over and over again that if we want to be an Am Segula, If we guard the mitzvos, then we'll be zocha to be an Am Segula. On the one hand, there's nothing that we need to do to become an Am Segula. Am Segula means it is because it is. But lefi amekabel, in terms of if we want to feel to be an Am Segula, so we need to develop ourselves into people who are shomer the mitzvos. What it means to be shomer the mitzvos is something that if we were really shomer the mitzvos, we would be devastated over the fact that we don't have people in our house eating kadshim. The Torah says in the context of Yosef HaTzadik and his being sold down to slavery, before that, you know, he had some dreams. And he used to tell his brothers the dreams. And they weren't so happy about it. And the brothers went and told Yaakov, you know, Yosef's telling us that we're all going to serve him, we're all going to bow down to him. So the pasuk says that Yosef was doing this and Yaakov wasn't so happy. So the pasuk says Yaakov kind of yelled at Yosef and said, Yosef, well, you shouldn't really be doing this. But then, lest we think that Yaakov was really unhappy with these dreams and he didn't believe that these dreams were true, the pasuk says, Va'aviv shomer es hadavar, that Yaakov guarded the matter. What does that mean, Yaakov guarded the matter? So Rashi says, Yaakov guarded the matter means that even though Yaakov thought that it was a little premature for Yosef to be telling the brothers that they were going to bow down to him, but Yaakov guarded the matter means he was Yoshev Umetzapa. This is the language of Rashi. Yoshev Umetzapa Masai Yavo. He was sitting and he was waiting. When is this going to happen? In other words, he guarded it means that it was on his heart constantly and he was constantly thinking. He was Yoshev, he was sitting Umetzapa. And he was yearning. He was yearning and waiting to see when is this finally going to happen because he knew it was going to happen. And based on this, we find in a number of instances that the Rishonim used this word shomer to discuss several different matters. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh spoke of what it means to be shomer Shabbat. I was joking before to my friend Josh, Yoshua was joining us today, that this is the earliest Kabbalah Shabbos minyan in all of Yerushalayim. To be shomer Shabbos, the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says, you know what it means to be shomer at Yom HaShabbos? Shomer Yom HaShabbos goes back to that Rashi about Yosef HaTzadik and Yaakov Avinu, that he was Yoshev Umetzapa Masayavo. To be Shomer Shabbos doesn't just mean that on Shabbos we don't turn on lights, or on Shabbos we don't do creative malacha, on Shabbos we don't do borer. To be Shomer Shabbos means to be Yoshev Umetzapa Masayavo. And to be shomer mitzvosav, to really feel yourself to be part of an am segula, which means to be, you just won the biggest lottery in the world. You were born to be a Jewish person. Or, you were lucky enough to realize on your own and you created the reality of being a Jewish person. You converted to Judaism. But in either way, you won the biggest lottery in the world and you're part of a segula. And if you really want to feel that, so then it would be chaval if you were osa mitzvosav and you weren't shomer mitzvosav. Because to be osa mitzvosav means that you're a good boy, you do what you're told. But to be shomer mitzvosav means you're thirsty, you're waiting. Yoshev mitzapa masayavo. When's it going to be Shabbos again? When am I going to have another opportunity to talk to Hashem? When can I do a favor for somebody else? When am I going to have kachim in my house again? When is the kahuna going to be restored to every family of the Jewish people? Then you begin to feel like segula. Wow, I was chosen. There were great people who waited very, 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 very long periods of time until they were able to do mitzvahs. And there were also simple people like that. This week I read a maysa about a yid who came walking into the Friedrich Rebbe, the previous Lubavitch Rebbe of Yosef Yitzchak Schneerson, the Rebbe Rayatz. He came walking into the Rebbe Rayatz holding a big fruit basket. The Gemara says, anybody who brings a present to a Talmud Chacham, it's like he brought Bikurim. So he wanted to do it with fruit. So he came in with this huge fruit basket, all types of amazing looking fruits. And he brought it to the Rebbe. And the Rebbe said, wow, thank you so much. It's so beautiful, thank you. So he said, Rebbe, you don't remember me? He said, no. He said, when I was a young boy, my grandfather brought me to your grandfather, the Rabbi Reb Shmuel of Lubavitch. My grandfather went to go visit a chassid, went to go visit his Rebbe, the Rabbi Reb Shmuel. And you, the Friedrich Rebbe, you were a young boy, you were little like I was, and you were sitting in the corner. And you were playing in the corner. And I came in. And my grandfather brought a gift of a big basket of fruits to your grandfather. And he said, wow, thank you so much, this is so beautiful. He said, I want to give you a blessing, I want to give you a bracha, that your grandson over there should one day be able to bring a basket of fruits to my grandson over there. And this chassid of the Rebbe, of the Friedrich Rebbe, of the Rebbe Rayat, said, ever since that day, I said amen to your grandfather's bracha, and for years I've been waiting and waiting and waiting to be able to be mekayimus. I've been waiting and waiting to be able to do this. To have the opportunity to come and to bring a fruit basket to you. V'aviv shomer sadavar, yoshiv matzapa masayavo. It's a big thing to wait to do a mitzvah. I was just at a bris yesterday. One of my best friends in the past 2 years had a baby boy. And he had a bris b'ito b'zmano, Elisha ben David. And the whole Indian of a bris is this Indian of Yosheva Mitzapa Masayava. It's not a mitzvah that you do in 1 second. You're waiting your whole life to mekayim this Indian of a bris. There are certain tzaddikim who, you know, you're supposed to be Zrizin Makdim in the mitzvah, you're supposed to do the mitzvah right away, but Reb Leibler Eger, for example, he used to wait the whole day doing hachanas. He'd go to the mikveh a million times, and he'd go to do the bris, and he'd run back, and he'd go do more chanas. And then right as it was about to be shkia, because you're not allowed to do a bris at night, he would run in, and he would grab the baby. He was the moel and the sandik at the same time. He would grab the baby, put the baby down on his lap, throw a talis over his head, make the bracha quickly, and it was done. And the whole day doing the chanas, and the bris was done in a few seconds. Because the actual bris that a person gets, the bris milah that a person gets, it's just a... it's a hachana that a person should be yoshev, that means shmiras habris. That a person can never give up on this inyan. You know, the Arizal says, this week's parasha unfortunately has some curses. So there are 98 curses. The Arizal and the Kutei Torah explain the secret of these 98 curses. They said that the 98 curses has to do with all curses in the world come. It's a sensitive Indian to be speaking about Barabim, but as I told you, I don't prepare these things, so whatever comes to the heart. I was at a bris this week, so that's what we have. So when a person comes face to face with Klala, you could be sure that it has something to do with a lack of Shmiras HaBris. Shmiras HaBris comes, a person's Shomer the Bris, Klala can't come to a person's life. So that really, in Lakutei Torah says that the 98 curses... it's because when a person is Shomer the Bris, so Chazal said that a person is not able to have children, you can't have children, unless when a husband is with his wife, so the Zera is Yora Kechetz, it's to be like an arrow, it's to be direct. And when a person is not Shomer the Bris, so then they're stuck with the 98 curses, which is Tzadi Ches, is the opposite of Chetz. It's the opposite of being able to have a child. It's the wasting of the potential to have a child. And that comes down into the world in the way of these 98 curses. And the whole thing which stands between a person and curses, the whole thing which draws bracha into our life, is as much as we're shomer the mitzvos, and we're shomer the bris, and we're shomer Shabbos, which means we're yoshev u'mitzapa masayava. That's what it means. It doesn't mean that we're going to succeed all the time at keeping Shabbos. It doesn't mean we're going to succeed all the time at doing the mitzvahs properly, it doesn't mean we're going to succeed all the time at being shomer the bris in the classical sense. But it means yoshiv mitzapa masayava. That's the tradition that I received from my rebbein. That in the final generation before the geula, so especially young people are going to struggle with this inyan of shmiras habris. And a person can never give up. Yoshev umetzapa masa yavo. That's what's expected. How can I do this? How can I be this? And the more that a person does that, the more they feel to be part of this Am Segula. The more a person feels like they're chosen. There's nothing that makes a person feel less chosen than when they made a covenant with Hashem and they don't keep their part of the deal. But even when things don't happen, you know, I think maybe this is the whole secret of the Parsha, Ki Tavo. Ki Tavo means when you will come. Ki Savo. You'll arrive there eventually, don't worry. To be shomer the mitzvot means that if you're trying to get out of bed, although Baruch Hashem, we've been doing great as a yeshiva, you're trying to get out of bed or you're trying to get into something and it's just not going, you promised yourself, tomorrow I'm for sure going to get up for Shacharis, I'm going to be on fire for Mincha, and Marv is going to be incredible. And then it doesn't happen. So to be shomer mitzvot sav doesn't only mean to be looking forward to the mitzvot, it also means to be looking forward, Yoshiv Mitzapa Masayava. When am I going to finally be able to do this like a real Levet Hashem? When am I going to be a real Erlich Yid that I'll actually be able to do a Shachar, and a Mincha, and a Marv, and I'll be able to get up on time, and I'll be able to watch my mouth from speaking negatively about other people or negatively about myself? When am I finally going to be able to do that? Kitavo means, you know, the Shlach Kodesh said that if you're stuck in traffic, he didn't say that because there wasn't probably traffic, but you're stuck in wagon traffic. So the Shlach said, you have nothing else to do, or you're, excuse me for using the term, but you're an Am Aretz, you don't know anything. Mamash don't know anything. So he said, so you should just sit there and you should say, Bereishis Noach, Lech Lecha Ve'erech, Ha'isara, Toldos. That's also Torah. Or let's say you don't even know that. So you just say, Bereishis, Noach, Noach. Whatever you know. That's also Torah. Just say the names of the Parshios. But from there you see the names of the Parshios are something that's telling you something about the essence of the whole Parsha. A little bit the essence of the Parsha of Kisavo is Yosheva Mitzapa Masayo, Kisavo. When am I gonna arrive there? When am I gonna get there? When are we gonna have Truma and Meiser in our own homes again? When are we gonna be eating Kudshim in our own homes? Mamlechas Kohanim, when are we gonna all be Kohanim again? Do we care about that? Do we care about being Kohanim? So a little bit, it's a vidoy meiser. It's a little bit of a vidoy, it's a confession. Be'arti ha-kodesh min abayis. Oh, how much I should want it more than I actually do. Be'arti ha-kodesh min abayis, and I'm okay with that. I took the kodesh out of my house, and I gave it away to somebody else, and it was okay, and I wasn't sitting on the floor crying and saying, oh, I wish I could keep this in my house if only I didn't serve the egel. If only the Kohanim were still part of our family. If I didn't have to take it out of my house. But I didn't do that. Biarti HaKodesh Min HaBayis. It was very nonchalant. Biarti HaKodesh Min HaBayis. So I messed up again. It didn't bother me. I'm not waiting for the time when I'll be able to actually do it. To be Shomer Mitzvosov, to be Shomer Shabbos means to be looking forward all the time. When am I going to really be able to do this? When am I going to have the opportunity to do this? Like I said at first. But also never giving up. And knowing that one day, Mirtz Hashem will be able to do it. So now there's some people who would be upset if I didn't play this now. Again, I just want to remind everybody that all this is tefillah. So, just dial them together if you know it. Great. If not, learn it. So don't lay a fire. In Yeush, Baulam, Klaam, Viso, Foli, a fire. In Yeush, Baulam, Klaam, Imata. Did it, One of the most mysterious curses Parsh Kisavo Perkhov Zion Pasachavav Ara Sher Lo Yakim is the Divrei HaTorah Zos Lasos Asam Vayomer Kol HaAmamein. Cursed is the one who does not uphold the words of this Torah. La'asos osam, to do them. Va'amar kol ha'am amin. Cursed is the one who doesn't uphold this Torah. The Rishonim are bothered by the fact that Be'emes, that's a very broad, or it doesn't uphold the Torah, that kind of implies everything. The other curses are much more general. Our person is cursed if they are masig gvul of their friend, they start playing around with the borders of property in Eretz Yisrael. Cursed is a person who takes advantage of a convert or an orphan or a widow. Cursed is the person who hits his father and mother. These are much more specific, and all of a sudden at the end, the very last one, which if you prefer, you could see it as kind of like a summary. But the Rishonim are trying to figure out exactly what this is. And the Ramban mentions, quite strangely, that maybe one of the interpretations, amongst many others, of this warning, cursed is the person who doesn't uphold the Torah, very strangely, the Ramban says that maybe it means cursed is a person who, you know, the Gemara says that you have to be careful when you're doing Hagbah, so you have to make sure that you hold it up in such a way that everyone will be able to see. Everyone will be able to see the Torah. Or asher lo yakim as divrei Torah zos. Cursed is the one who doesn't properly hold the Torah up so that everyone will be able to see the letters of the Torah. Be'emet? Seriously? That's like the final curse? Taking advantage of a poor widow or an orphan is followed by cursed as the guy who doesn't do Hagbah properly? So I want to share with you something that will change the way that you view Hagbah forever. Doesn't matter if you're Svard or Ashkenaz. Then, you know, by Svard, Hagbah is done before. They lift the Torah up before the reading of the Torah, and then they read it, and then they do a closed Hagbah, which basically just means picking the Torah up off of the table that it's on and sitting down with it. Even if it's not a Svardi Torah, they'll do a Hagbah, and then they'll put down the Torah, they'll read from it, and then they'll wrap it up, put the belt on it, and just the person will do what's called the closed Hagbah at the end, where they just pick up the Torah, and they sit down, they put the cover on it, and that's it. Or if you're Ashkenaz, you do it at the end. Either way, it's the same menu. So everybody knows that when you do Hagbah, you're not, what are you supposed to look for? What are you looking at when you look at the
letters?
You're looking for the letters. You're looking at a letter. In fact, in some places, in some Teimani shuls, this is a really great thing, very good to see it, it's really great. They take their talis, and they take the tzitzis, and they make a little loop. They put it by their eye like it was their tat with their tzitzis, like that, and they look through to just find one letter to block out everything else. You know, like this. They make like a little loop with their tzitzis, and they go like that to look for one letter. So if you ask me, the difference between Hagbah and Talmud Torah and reading the Torah, Kriyasa Torah, is the difference between words and letters. It's the difference between words and letters. What's the difference between words and letters? The difference between words and letters is that words are for smart people, and letters are for children. It's an amazing thing, you know, when we read from the Torah, again, it doesn't matter if you're Ashkenaz or Sfard, but the position of the reader when we're reading the Torah, when we're reading the words of the Torah, is from a position of authority. When we're doing Kriyas HaTorah, we're looking down at the text. We're looking down at the text, certainly if you're dealing with an Ashkenazi Torah. The Torah is lying flat, and you're looking down at the words, and you're reading the words. And the power of interpretation lays in the hand of the reader. Because Kodesh Brich Yisrael V'Arei Sechadu, Hashem and the Jewish people and the Torah are all one. And the way that the Jewish people interpret the Torah, based on that which we received from Sinai, is binding. Torah was given to the Jewish people. But the greatest danger in the world, the greatest danger in the world is when a person starts to read the Torah and they start to think that they stand above the Torah and they don't allow themselves to be conquered by the Torah. Because when we don't let ourselves be conquered by the Torah, so then that's the worst curse of all. A person who doesn't allow himself to be conquered by the Torah. During Hagbadla, the Torah is above us. On the level of letters, the Torah has no meaning to us. Not because it's meaningless, but because it's such a high, it's so high that we don't even know how to interpret it. On the level of letters, a little bit we've been talking about in Chumash class, on the level of letters, the Torah conquers us. We don't interpret it, but it is completely in charge of us. That's why during Hagba we lift the Torah above us and we look up like a child looking up to his parent. And we block out the words and we stop trying to be so smart for a second. And instead we say, I guess maybe the Torah knows better than I do. Because after I just read everything that it says in the Torah, I might think to myself, yeah, but come on, that was for a long time ago. And I know better. And how could Hashem really expect this of me? And all types of things start floating around in our head. So then we just allow ourselves to be conquered by the letters. There's a mice about the brother of the Chazon Ish. He wasn't as famous as the Chazon Ish, but in my eyes, this story is not only the greatest chizuk to every single one of us. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but how many people feel in this room, and here's the irony, if I would really ask for a raise of hands, then you would actually tell the truth. So then there would be 100% of hands raised. How many people, including myself, how many people in this room really feel like they know how to learn? How many people feel like, I'm not telling you to raise your hands, how many people in this room feel like they're even in like the top 10% of the guys who know how to learn in this yeshiva? So if you feel like you're prepared to answer the question by not raising your hand, that you don't know how to learn, and you're frustrated with learning, and you're not one of the top 10 guys, so then you need to hear the story. It's probably my favorite story in the world, of all the stories. It's the story of stories. Sipur HaSipurim. Chazon Ish's brother once walked into his tati's study, and he said to his father, very proudly, he was a young boy, very little, and he said, Abba, you're going to be so proud of me. I know all of Shas, the whole thing. So his father smiled. The kid was like 6 years old. That's nice. Wow. Really, the whole thing? The whole thing. He said, you could test me. So his father said, okay, could you go to the shelf and please get me a Yavamos? And he opened up to one of the more complicated parts of Yavamos. And he said, the whole thing? And he said, yeah, the whole thing. He said, okay, could you read this for me? Starting from here, from Amar Rava, right here, could you read this? He said, no problem, Tati. I got it. So this little kid sits down on his father's lap, huge Gemara, bigger than him, sitting in front of him. And he goes, he looks up at his father and he goes, okay. He looks down and he goes, Aleph, Mem, Resh, Resh, Bez, Aleph. And then he looks up at his father and he says, I could do it for the whole thing. He could do it for the whole thing. He knew all of Shas because he knew all the letters of the Aleph Bez. So he could say, Aleph Mem Resh, Resh, Bez, Aleph. Did he know how to read the words Amarava? Not even. Did he know what the words Amarava meant? Did he know what the next line meant? For sure not. Did he know what Tosfos said on it? Definitely not. Shulchan Aruch, Nosei Kelim? For sure not. So it's a cute story, but guys, is there any difference between the greatest Rosh Hashiva in the world? The greatest Rosh Hashiva in the world. And that child who knows the letters of the Aleph Beis? In terms of what there is possibly to know, the infinite mind of Hashem, which is encapsulated in the Torah, is there any difference between somebody who's mastered all of Shas by heart, with Tosfos, and with the Shulchan Aruch, and with the Nosei Kelim? Mamish Baal Peh, you could do the pin test. You know, you put a pin through the Gemara and tell every single word that it goes through on every page. You could do that. Is there any difference between that person and a child who knows the letters of Aleph Beis in terms of the infinite that there is to know? There's no difference. So when a person finishes reading Torah, Kriyas HaTorah is finished, they pick up the Torah and you find the letter and you say, I could be 90 years old and completely fluent in all of the Gemara, and all of the Medrash, in all of the Poskim. I know every work of Chassidus Baal Peh. I could tell you Mesil Sisharim from the great Baal Musar inside and out, but I'm still just holding by the letters of Aleph Beis. And I have to let the Torah conquer me. And as soon as I let the Torah conquer me, then there's nothing which is impossible. So we say, cursed is the one who doesn't do Hagva properly for everyone to be able to see the letters, because a person who doesn't hear Hagva properly is incapable of fulfilling the demands of the Torah. Because either he'll feel like, listen, I can augment it at will, or I'm not capable of doing it, but once the Torah conquers you, you can do anything. There's nothing that you cannot do. You're capable of everything.
Bye.
So he said no. He says no, it doesn't say Vayomer Hashem Moshe Lemor Bi B'Simcha. Doesn't say that. But he said it's really impossible to do any mitzvah without being B'Simcha. There's no mitzvah to be B'Simcha, but you can't really do any of this without being B'Simcha. The truth is that I didn't say the name of the person who said that for a reason, because I'm going to disagree with him for a second. He's much greater than I am. So I figured if I don't say his name, he won't be. The pasuk says in this week's parsha that because we didn't serve Hashem b'simcha, that's why all the curses fell on us. It's true. I'm not really disagreeing with him. There's not be'etzim, a mitzvah in the Torah, a commandment in the classical sense, to be b'simcha. But a Jew has to be b'simcha all the time. To be b'simcha is the natural state of a Jewish person. That's the natural state of a Jewish person, to be b'simcha. There's a difference between the word simcha, to be b'simcha, and to be happy. Different things. To be happy all the time, I'm not sure that's possible. To be happy means that something happened to you. Something has to happen to you to be happy. They share a shoresh, happy and happen. Something has to happen to be happy. a person happens to be happy. It just so happened that something great happened to him, and that makes him happy. Simcha is something which goes beyond what happens to you. One of the big teachings in my life that I try to live by more than anything else, I'm not saying that I succeed at it, is the teaching of the Baal Shem Tov, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamir. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamir. You know what it means, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamir, according to the Baal Shem Tov? Doesn't mean that we know that Hashem is always in front of us. I mean, it does, but not the way that you think. The Baal Shem Tov said, the word Shivisi comes from a lashon of Shaveh, equal. Everything is equal. What does that mean? That means someone comes over to you and says, whoa, Meir, that was like the most incredible basketball game you ever played in your life. Wow. Yishai, you have the most beautiful children I've ever seen. David, your beard is so thick. Whatever somebody says to you, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamir, Shaveh. Somebody comes over and says, you are the biggest lowlife in the world. You didn't see me crossing the street there when you came. Watch where you're going. And you didn't do it. You don't feel like you did anything wrong. We don't know how to learn. That's how you speak? Shaveh. Because when I'm standing in front of Hashem, and I know that everything comes from Hashem, you could say, I'm the best guitarist in the world. I'm the best teacher in the world. You could say anything. And a person who's living with Shivisi comes from Hashem. You could say that I'm the worst teacher in the world and no one's ever played such disgusting sounding music in their life. Shivisi. Haha. That's how it happened. So I didn't play the way that I... Shivisi. This is the ultimate secret to Simcha. Because if somebody only thinks of themselves as being happy because someone else recognized their effort or something like that, or if someone is able to be thrown off because somebody doesn't recognize their efforts, it can be destroyed and built up artificially a million times a day. You know, the Shulchan Aruch starts with Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid and ends with another Tamid. Lev Tov Mishta Tamid. A joyous heart is celebrating all the time. And the two are together. When a person knows they're standing in front of Hashem and everything comes from Hashem, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid, a person will live with a Lev Tov Mishta Tamid. Because nothing can knock you down. Nothing can take away your Simcha. Besimcha is the Osios Machshava. Besimcha is the Osios Machshava. My ability to think can override anything that happens to me. And to be besimcha means that I choose to be besimcha, not something that happens to me from the outside. So we could be besimcha and we could be happy because Shabbos is coming soon. So something is happening to us and we could stay in our state of simcha, which is innate for a Jewish person.
Shabbos, Kodesh, 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 Shabbos, Shabbos.